Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. There is an ocean of false Christian practices out there, and they all come down to one important thing. What they call the Lord's Supper, or Communion, or the Eucharist. And all of these practices are a counterfeit of the true New Testament Christian Passover. These counterfeits have taken upon themselves and those who perform them, and those who preach them, practices that are not in the Bible. They've taken upon themselves to misinterpret the scriptures, not understand that Jesus was crucified on the Passover day. That's why I wrote the book, The Day Jesus the Christ Died, because in the entire movie by Mel Gibson, showing the Passion of the Christ, not once was the Passover day mentioned. Not once was this day that was selected by God the Father and Jesus Christ as the day on which Christ would die. And that day was selected from the foundation of the world. So important is keeping the true Christian Passover. So important is this practice because it renews the new covenant every year. So important is it that Jesus said that unless you eat his flesh and drink his blood, which is symbolized in the practice of observing the Christian Passover, you have no life. That is spiritual, eternal life within you. In other words, Jesus is saying, you don't have the Spirit of God. And without the Spirit of God, there's no eternal life. You can have all of the do-gooder practices you would like. You could have great ceremonies. You can have solemn ceremonies. You can use the name of God. You can say this is from the scriptures. But unless you do the Passover in the way and in the manner and on the day and on the time of the day that Jesus did, that he taught his disciples and apostles, you're practicing a counterfeit. Now let's come to 1 Corinthians 11 and see how then Paul brought out some of the heresies that were taking place there. Now, I've already previously covered this in one of the segments, but we're going to review it just a little bit, and then we will look at what is called the sacrifice of the Mass. Paul had the exact same problem in the church at Corinth, with a little bit of different twist to it, but the same problem of trying to add to or take away from what Jesus commanded to be done in observing the Christian Passover. Verse 17, now in this that I am commanding you, I do not praise you, because when you assemble together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. Yes, they were saying, let's have a lamb, let's have a dinner, let's have a celebration. So he says, I'm not praising you in this. Verse 18, first of all, I hear that there are divisions among you when you assemble together in the church, and I partly believe it. They were beginning to bring in what they thought would be nice to do. which was not according to the commandments of Christ. Verse 19, for it is necessary that heresies be among you. See, all of these heresies have to be out there so that we can get into the Bible to prove what is true, to prove what is right, to understand what God wants us to do. Just like Jesus said, there were many that came before him, false messiahs and false prophets and false Christs, but he never sent them. So likewise with the practice of the most critical thing in true Christianity, the true Christian Passover observance. Now that's why Satan wants to overload it with false practices. You look at it. They don't keep the Sabbath, so they have Sunday services, a day which God never sanctified. They have communion or the Lord's Supper. And generally it's in the morning, so how is that called the Lord's Supper? Some take it with wine and unleavened bread. Some take it with leavened bread. And even in some churches they have one of the priests or ministers standing up front, and the congregation streams up there one at a time and breaks off a piece of leavened bread. Now you see, the Bible says the bread is to be unleavened because it pictures the sinless body of Christ. And it is to be broken. But when you come to the Eucharist, what do you have? You have a round sun disk with a cross on it. And that came from Egypt. And that's what God rejected and judged and condemned with the first Passover for the children of Israel in the land of Egypt, because he judged all the gods of Egypt. And all the gods of Egypt came out of Babylon. So we have online right here, you can go to our homepage and you can download The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop. And you can find exactly what the practices were. Because anything that is separate from what God has commanded comes from men or comes from demons, and results in idolatry and false practices. Now notice verse 20. Therefore, when you assemble together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. In the Greek, the word not is in the strongest sense of the Greek, which means this. You can't call it the Lord's Supper, and you can't eat his supper, because the supper that Jesus ate, he ate before he introduced the bread and the wine. And he tells them in verse 34, if any is hungry, let him eat at home, that is before they come together to partake of the true Christian Passover. So there's to be no meal. Now it's not to be at any time that one may think. It's only on the night in which Jesus was betrayed. Not the morning. Not at sunrise. Now, some people have communion quarterly. The first Sunday or first Sabbath of the quarter. Some have individual glasses in which they drink wine or grape juice. And grape juice, by the way, still has the leaven spores in it. Wine, fermented. And properly, there's no leaven. Very interesting sidebar as we go by here. All right? Some don't believe in drinking at all. They have bread and water. Now, that's what they used to give prisoners in jail. Some, they have mass on Friday night, Saturday, Saturday night, Sunday, many hours during Sunday, and every morning there's a celebration of the Mass. That's found nowhere in the Bible. That is a practice that men have adopted from pagan religions which God has condemned. So he says here, verse 21, and here's what they did. At a night when you're supposed to remember the death of Christ and remember what God has done to save you and to remember what God has done to redeem you from this world and Satan the devil. What did they do? Verse 21, for in eating, everyone takes his own supper first. Now, on the one hand, someone goes hungry, but on the other hand, another one becomes drunken. What? Paul says of this practice? Don't you have houses for eating and drinking, or do you despise the church of God and put to shame those who have nothing? He says, what shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. All right, now what are we looking at here? A practice that someone said, well, this would be a good idea to do. And others said, well, that sounds good to me too. After all, didn't Jesus eat a meal on the Passover night? Not understanding that, yes, he had to eat that roasted lamb and bitter herbs to end the old covenant Passover. And he instituted the new covenant Passover with foot washing and the bread and the wine. So this is why Paul writes what he writes here. For I receive from the Lord, direct from Christ, direct from the one who instituted the Christian Passover observance and showing that it is to be taught to those who are Gentiles. They are to keep it the way that the Lord kept it, on the day that the Lord kept it, in the way that the Lord kept it. All right? For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And then it says, and after giving thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is being broken for you. This do in the remembrance of me. So we have the night, the remembrance. The night means the 14th day of the first month. The remembrance is a memorial, which is an annual observance, and it is not to be observed at any time you desire to do so. Verse 25, in like manner he also took the cup after he had supped, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, this do. Now here's the phrase that everyone takes and completely misunderstands because they do not go to the Greek to understand that there are limiting factors as to what the phrase as often as means. And it's contained in an untranslatable particle that is pronounced on, A-N, which means that there are limiting factors to this phrase. And what are the limiting factors? In the night, meaning on the day that the Lord gave it. So often as means you're doing this once a year in the remembrance of him until the Lord comes. Now verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, again, the untranslatable Greek word on shows there's a limiting factor. Not as often as you will, not at any time you desire. See? So this becomes completely misinterpreted. And then it's looked upon as something to give justification for doing something that the Bible tells us not to do. Now, you see, it's exactly like those going through the New Testament and they see the first day of the week. And they think, oh boy, this gives us justification for Sunday keeping. And it does not do any such thing. Now, you need the book, Which Day is the True Christian Sabbath? Now, let's see what happens here. For often as you eat this bread and drink this cup year by year, you solemnly proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. What day did he die on? The Passover day. For this reason, if anyone shall eat this bread or drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, he shall be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord. Unworthily means you must take it in at the time of the day, which is in the night, that Jesus established with the words that Jesus used, and you must observe it in the way that God intended it. Now, any other practice is unworthy. Also, if you have not been properly baptized, if you do not understand that you are to be in a covenant with God, unworthily means you are guilty of the body and blood of Christ. Now, let's come to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and let's see something here very important for us to realize, because we will look at what is called the sacrifice of the Mass. And we are going to see how it brings in things of the Bible and then deviates in ways to lead people astray. And that is not a practice that is found in the Scriptures. It is a practice that is made to look like it is found in the Scriptures. In Hebrews 9, verse 24, then we'll get to Hebrews 10. Because when Christ, after being in the tomb 3 days and three nights, was resurrected and then ascended to the Father, that completed his mission to bring remission of sins for those that God would call. It's not yet dispensed to the whole world. That won't happen until Christ returns. But here's what he did. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made by human hands, which are mere copies of the true. Rather, he has entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. He is our high priest. He is our Savior. He is our sacrifice. And it is his blood and it is his body that sanctifies us. Now notice verse 25. Not that he should offer himself many times. He didn't. One sacrifice once. Now think about that. That's why it is to be observed on the day in which all the events leading up to the crucifixion and death of Christ occurred. 14th day of the first month. Verse 26, for then it would have been necessary for him to suffer many times since the foundation of the world. Now we're going to see when we come to the Eucharist that they call this the sacrifice of the Mass, and that they are bringing to God their sacrifice. That has nothing to do with the true Christian Passover. Now, people have been told that this is what to do. People have been told that this is what is Christian. People have grown up and been taught from childhood that this is the thing to do. and it without observing the Eucharist, without the sacrifice of the Mass, there is no eternal life. But you see, the thing is this. We're going to find out that there are so many things that are contrary to the Scriptures contained even in the wording of the prayers of the Mass, that it does not in any way represent what Christ taught those who are his followers to do. Now, it may seem like, but it's not. Verse 26 now, Hebrews 9, but now once and for all, in the consummation of the ages, he has been manifested for the purpose of removing sin through the sacrifice of himself. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear the second time without sin unto salvation to those who are eagerly awaiting him. Since Jesus was sacrificed once on one particular day, you do not have multiple celebrations, as they call it, during a Sunday or during a week or during a year. And he was offered once. Now, let's see what happens when that's combined with idols and sin. Let's come back to Hebrews, the 6th chapter. Let's see where it talks about the unpardonable sin. Because, you see, most people just don't get it. Because at every Eucharist celebration, the priest is asking God to sacrifice Christ again.
Hi, my name is Father Ben Bradshaw. I'm very happy to be with you. Today I'm going to talk to you about the Eucharist. The word Eucharist means thanksgiving. We have thanks for everything that we've been given. God has given us so much. And Eucharist itself means thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for this great gift. You know, as Catholics, everything that we are goes back to this thanksgiving, what takes place at every altar. We have thanks for the fact that God has given us life. He's given us another day to live. We have thanks for the fact that he comes among us body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. Everything we are goes back to what happens at every Mass. This is the beginning and end of everything we are as Catholics. And as we receive him, he comes into us in our heart to transform us. He changes us, just like the apostles started off as these weak, fallible guys, right? But they were changed every time they celebrated Mass, especially at the Last Supper. Same thing happens to us. Jesus Christ is with us, and so we have great thanksgiving. May God bless you.
Now come to Hebrews, the 6th chapter. Now it talks about verse 6. If they have fallen away, that is, those who leave the truth to follow error, with a counterfeit Christianity, you have left the truth to follow error. To renew them to repentance, seeing that they are crucifying the Son of God for themselves. Now think about this for a minute. If you have the sacrifice of the Mass, you are crucifying Christ for yourself. Christ died for the sins of the world and are publicly holding him in contempt. So anyone who has a counterfeit practice of the true Christian Passover is holding Christ in contempt. They have idols. They take the name of God in vain. They do it in a time that God has not commanded. They take the bread, and in many cases, unbroken, and with an idol baked right into the wafer and think that they are offering these things to God for the forgiveness of sin. So you need to think about this. That's why you need to examine the scriptures. That's why you need to separate out the truth from error. That's why you need to understand about the true Christian Passover, the day on which Jesus was sacrificed. Now, you need this book. We'll send it to you at no cost at all. You need to read and understand all about the sacrifice of Christ, all about the Passover observance. And you also need the book, Lord, What Should I Do? Because any form of Christianity is being attacked by Satan the devil to get rid of all Christianity. But there is the true Christianity, which comes right down from Christ through the apostles, right down to today. And they are the ones who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus Christ. They're the ones who keep the Passover and the Sabbath and the holy days of God. Yes, they are few. That's why church at home. In the not too distant future, it's going to be unsafe to go to church. As well as, if they don't solve the transportation problem, too expensive to go out of your house and pay $9 or $10 a gallon to go to church. And besides, the New Testament church began in homes. Now, I'm spending this time going through these things so that we understand how do we retrieve ourselves out of all of these deceptions. And so that's what I'm showing you. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your homes. Be sure and visit our other website, cbcg.org. We have hundreds of sermons. We have hundreds of transcripts. We have so many study things on the home page of Church at Home, on the transcripts and booklets you can download on CBCG, that you can, in your home, take the time to study and to prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. So until next time, this is Fred Colter saying, so long, everyone.